that this franchise has come an incredibly long way in the last few years, and this is third straight year, right? Third straight playoff. So it made sense to celebrate a couple years ago, first time in a long time. But now we expect to be in the playoffs, and that says a lot about the entire organization.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Where's Huddle with me, Bram. With me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And returning to the huddle for the third time, comedian, actor, MTV rock and jock star, rapper, and perhaps, most importantly, Bay Area born and bred, longtime Warrior fan, Simon Rex. What's going on, Simon?
Oh, man, thanks for having me back on, guys. This season is still a surreal dream. I will get into it in a minute. I'm still not celebrating, even though we have the number one record in the league. I think we're 53-13, one game better than Atlanta, another weird team this year that came out of nowhere, and we're playing them tonight, and a lot of crazy stuff going on. I'm yours.
That's exactly right. And actually, man, you kind of preempted my first question. A while back, you and I talked about this team. We said that the whole thing just seems crazy. Who could have seen this come in? It's like an ongoing phenomenal dream. Now, you know, we're months removed from that. These guys have kept it up. In fact, they're even more impressive. Is this settling in a little bit for you? Does it still seem totally surreal? Or do you kind of accept these guys as the best team in the league?
Yeah, because I'm a true Golden State Warriors fan at heart, I still am waiting for the, you know, rug to be pulled out from under me, or the floor to fall out from under me, so to speak, because it seems too good to be true. And whenever in life something seems too good to be true, it usually is. And this season is by far been, it's funny because I've, you know, been such a diehard fan. I go to games, I come up to Oakland and go to games, I fly to Chicago if my, you know, buddy gets tickets. I have yet to go to one game this year at all. And I want to, and I almost feel like I don't want to mess it up by going to one. So I'm just going to continue to just watch it on the NBA League Pass on my phone, and not ruin it. Yeah,
I think we all appreciate that. Although, you know, you saw last night Klay Thompson injures his ankle. Could this be the shoe finally dropping?
So how serious was that? I didn't see anything. Is it going to be, he's out for a while? I didn't see that.
So it came out today. I guess he stepped on some no-name player I had literally never heard of on the Lakers. He rolls his right ankle. He finished out the game last night before it swelled up. They thought it wasn't serious at first. Then I guess it got kind of bad last night, and what the reports are suggesting, he's out 7 to 10 days. So
I can live with that. As long as we got him in the playoffs and Serge Ibaka is out, you know, and I don't wish this upon anybody, but if we have to play OKC in the first round, which is sort of what it's looking like, bar, you know, New Orleans making a little run, which they could because I think they're a game behind them.
Right.
Yeah, of course we'd rather play New Orleans. I don't see them passing up. I don't see Memphis catching up to us at 6.5 games behind us. We'd have to lose a lot. They'd have to win a lot. I think we could win without Klay. This will be a good test of our character and to see what we can do without one of our main players. I love what Kerr's doing. My mom actually lives in Denver. She went to the game the other night. She was really bummed out when she went there, and they benched Curry and Klay and Iggy and everybody, you know, because she wanted to go see the Warriors, you know.
Right.
And Kerr made an apology to the fans because, you know, people come to see the show, and he's resting them, and I like what he's doing. He's doing the Popovich thing, and I like it.
Me too. All right, hold on. You've put two things on the table. Let me address both of them. Let me start off with the Klay Thompson thing, because I think you're right. I've got a three-quarters glass, you know, full argument for why this Klay Thompson thing is actually good. One, the Warriors have nothing but time to allow this guy to rest. They've earned that by racing out to the record that they have, so we don't have to worry about the injury. Two, you can argue that this is actually really good for Steph's MVP chase. You know, put Klay off to the side. If these guys don't lose a whole lot of games and he shows them that it's not the roster behind him, it's his own skill set, we could be looking at an MVP in a couple months. Now,
because this Harden thing is scaring me, and I hate to say it because, like, what Harden's doing is absolutely incredible without a big man, without really a point guard.
Right.
Doing some amazing things, and they're in third or fourth place, right behind Portland, I think. And you know, it's a tough call. It's going to be interesting because I think Steph Curry, this is his shining year, and he's coming out, and I think he could win it. This will be really interesting to see what happens if Klay is out for a while. What Steph does and steps up, similar to, like, you know, what you see happening in OKC. When one of their stars gets benched, the other one just shines. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, I don't want to get too far away from the Denver thing, man, because that was actually another subject I wanted to bring up with you. I'm with you. I agree. I think that Kerr's doing the right thing. His job is not to entertain the fans. His job is to win a championship. Sitting people helps us with the championship. But give me the perspective of your mom. You know, do you think she has a right to be pissed off? She shows up. She wants to see her boys. They're not there. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I think she does have a right to be upset, and fans do. But I guess you know that's a two-sided coin, and that's why I think Kerr made that public apology, because right. He knows. I mean, at least he made the apology. Popovich is a notorious asshole. You know, they've been acknowledging it in all these sports center, all these things lately, just saying like, you know, okay, we get it. You don't like talking to the commentators for 15 seconds during right. the game, but that's your job, man. And you know, at least Kerr had a little bit of class and apologized. So I think that reflects well on the team, you know. But I would be bummed if I spent, you know, $150 to go to a game and see my players and they just didn't play.
Exactly.
You know, I would be bummed. I would be.
No, and what Scotty and I were talking about this off mic. And what I was saying is that really, when push comes to shove, the NBA for television purposes is just like any other television show, right? It's there to get advertising money. And the way that they do it is via the stars. And that's even more serious now because each team has this variable pricing. If I want to go see LeBron and the Cavs, I have to pay more for that game than I would if I'm going to go see, you know, Utah right. and the Burgers. So if I was to show up to, let's say, a Seinfeld taping, right, and I'm a part of the offense, or a part of the audience, rather, I show up and they tell me that night that Seinfeld just isn't going to be there. He's capable. He's not hurt, but he's saving himself for a show down the line. That I would take that remarkably hard. So I completely understand where these fans are coming from. And my suggestion is this is the owner's fault. I again understand that they're supposed to win a championship, but what the owners have done is they have these games so close to one another, they force coaches like Kerr to sit his players. If they want a chance, they need to either elongate this season or reduce the games because they are creating this scenario. You know what I mean? It's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, and at this time of the year, you know, it makes sense. I mean, Kerr is just doing what he can with what he's dealt. It's not his decision, so you can't blame Kerr. He's just simply trying to rest his players to win a championship, which you have to respect. But, you know, he's put in that position, just like you said. So you're right. Maybe they'll look into it this year, because I think this is now an issue. Yeah. Because, yeah, I remember being a kid. I went to New York City, and I went to see a play on Broadway called The Tap Dance Kid. And the main star, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, like, what's the tap dance kid's name? Something Glover.
Danny Glover? The guy from Community?
No, not Danny Glover. Oh, man, I can't remember. Anyway, I went to see the play, and the main kid who was the tap dance kid, the Broadway, he was sick, and the backup kid came out, and I felt robbed, and I felt the wind sucked out of me, and I was all excited to see this play that was the toast of New York City. And, you know, the kid was just sick. But if I felt like that as a kid, then I can imagine average, you know, fan who's an NBA fan who's a kid would be really bummed. You see how many Steph Curry jerseys there are in every
exactly.
game now around the country. He's become the star of the NBA. So, yeah, that's a tricky one. You can't blame anyone except, I guess, the league and the owners and whatever. They do need to maybe ease up. But they're not going to make less games. No way.
Right.
I mean,
no,
they got to make
money.
So right. It's all about money.
No, you're definitely
crazy.
Right.
Well, I think what they can do is shorten up the preseason and play less preseason games, start the year maybe a little earlier or whatnot. But I think you can get an extra week or two in there where they don't have to go have so many back-to-back games.
And let me also give you a little credit for your cultural depth, Simon. I love that you went Broadway play and the tap dance kid. I never would have made that analogy, so you're the man for coming up with it. One more Warrior-related question before we turn our attention to the rapper stuff. You mentioned that you're seeing people in jerseys all over the place. That's absolutely right. You get an opportunity to see the rest of the country in a way we don't. How is the Warriors bandwagon shaping out, man? Are you seeing new Warrior fans all over the place or what?
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing it. You know, I'm just noticing it myself from social media and from watching games, because I have the league pass. So I watch it on my phone, and I watch, you know, almost all the games anytime I can watch when I will. So I'm noticing when we're on the road a lot, you're just seeing sprinkled out in the audience a lot more blue jerseys
yep.
than normal. And a lot of Steph Curry jerseys. And I think they said that Steph Curry, I think, is one of the top three selling jerseys. It's him, Kobe, and LeBron, or whatever it is. He's now a household name, and on commercials with Jamie Foxx, and, you know, it's his. He's got yep. the floor, you know. So I'm noticing it a lot more. And part of me is like, oh, okay, they're just on the bandwagon. But part of me is like, okay, good. I'm just happy that people are even know who we are now.
I mean, we were hell yes.
That scrub team that nobody knew for years. So
how are you handling it? I'll keep it personal. I am remarkably immature, and I always apparently don't have enough self-confidence to just let, you know, my fandom speak for itself. If I see a new fan, I will say anything I possibly can to casually show them that I've been here forever. You know, like mention Vontigo Cummings or something. Do you have more self-confidence, or do you have that same kind of need to show them you've been here from the beginning?
Well, deep inside, I have that. I don't think I come across that. And you're in the Bay Area, so I don't come across that as much. And down here in L.A., yeah. The most bandwagon fans ever. They go from Clippers to Lakers, Clippers to whoever's hot, they're going to go see. Now that the Lakers suck, you just don't even hear anything. It's hilarious. So for me, this is more, I don't experience it on the day-to-day. I can't imagine. I know the Bay Area, we got great fans, and I'm sure now more than ever. I'm seeing on the commercials, like, hey, if you want to get season tickets, there's a 13,000 person wait
yeah,
now.
Exactly.
It's a crazy number. So it's just getting to the point where we're the show, and I'll take some, you know, some bandwagon fans. If it means the bigger picture is us being where we are, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Once again, you are in fact more mature. Here's a follow-up question from the last episode we did. The last time the three of us spoke, you were in a new relationship and in fact just missed a big game because you had to go out with your girlfriend, and I completely understood.
Yeah. Now we're not saying, yeah, we broke up.
Oh, there,
I should have never even, I missed a game for nothing. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Well, it happens. You know, you're a good man nonetheless, Simon. You know, you did the right thing then. It is what it is. Now you're apparently free to watch any
games
you want.
Right. I missed the best game. That was like the best game I missed. And I was pissed off, and I held that her accountable. You know, it's funny. I actually, real quick story.
Is that why you broke up with her?
I want to make this a dark episode.
Fair enough.
I got a friend of mine who's out here from New York, and he somehow is staying with the Clippers power forward, who we don't like very much.
Oh,
he's running his social media. So Guess what? My boy's been going over to his house because he got the injured arm. I think he's back. He just came back, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
He just came back last night. And played
yeah.
and lost the game against Houston for him or whatever.
Right.
But my boy's friends with him, and my boy said, I asked him, hey, see if he knows who I am, if he knows Dirk Nasty, if he knows Simon Rex. So he asked him, he said, hey, do you know who Simon Rex is? And he says, of course. Blake Griffin goes, of course I know who he is. And my boy goes, oh, we'd love to meet you. He's like, oh, he can come by the house anytime. So I want to go to Blake Griffin's house in a Warriors jersey. I'm going to go to his house in a Warriors jersey underneath my shirt. And then when I get there and meet him, I'm going to take off my shirt in his house and just be wearing a Warriors jersey and see what happens. Or I want to shoot like a Vine or Instagram with him where I go, hey, Blake, nice to meet you. And I'm wearing a Warriors jersey, and he like pushes me in the pool or something. And then I emerge from the pool next to my friend, and he's in a Knicks jersey already wet going, you too, huh? I'm like, yep. I just want to get in with Blake because I want to subtly get in his head and give us Warrior fans more of an advantage. And you know, like, you know, keep your enemies closer. Like, I want
exactly.
to get in.
Sure.
And get in his head and get in his psyche a little bit, you know?
I love it. I love the idea. I mean, it almost sounds like a WWF old school skit of you coming there,
totally.
Talking to him, nothing else. And then you slowly take off your shirt and the, you know, the Warriors music plays in the background when you hit him over the face with a chair.
No, that's fun. So if I do go to his house, I have to plan some type of Warriors prank. And I really want to see how pissed off he'll get because they really do have this heated rivalry. I mean, you saw what happened the other day when what's his name bumped Green. I mean, that was just like the beef is still there. It's there.
Dante Jones, you should ask Blake how it feels to be Bogut's bitch. You know, actually, you probably shouldn't do that because you guys wouldn't be that close. But whatever it is you do, you keep us involved, man, because I'm very excited to see where this story unfolds.
Yeah. If anything, you'll see a funny video that I'll post on my socials of me doing something funny. But it's definitely going to be me defending the Warriors and doing something funny with them, if anything at all. Because if I do go to his house, I'm going to wear a Warriors shirt. It's just a matter of what's going to happen. I might get kicked out of his house. I don't care. I'll do it.
Well, that is awesome, and it's also the perfect transition since it's basketball-related, but only tangentially. Obviously, it's March Madness season. Everyone's putting together brackets, man. We figured we'd create our own twist on that. No secret, NBA players think they can rap. I don't know if Blake Griffin ever has, but certainly a lot of other people have. It's also no secret to say that, generally speaking, they are f***ing terrible. So What we have done is we put together an 8-man bracket designed to figure out the worst rapper in the history of the NBA. Here are our seedings, Simon. The number one seed, Meta World Peace. Number two, Shaquille O'Neal. 3, Kobe Bryant. 4, Delonte West. 5, Dennis Scott. 6, Jason Kidd. 7, Charles Barkley. And 8, Iman Shumpert. Concept simple. We match these guys up according to their seeding. We'll listen to each player in the matchup. Then you help us vote on who the shittiest rapper is in each matchup. And the worst guy moves on. Now, Scott and I have no credibility, having never rapped in our lives. Thankfully, you do. How long you been in the rap game, man? Remind us.
I've been doing the music thing now for a good 10 years, I'd say. I never thought that I would still be doing it. I never thought I'd be doing it at all. I just, it just kind of fell into my lap. So I ran with it, and people seem to like it. But I'm making fun of Hollywood and myself within the rap lyrics, whereas these guys weren't trying to be funny. They were trying to be very serious, and that's why it's so funny. So on my side of the spectrum is a cognizant effort to get a laugh, whereas with them, they were very serious.
That's exactly right. They shatter the unintentional comedy scale. Enough setup. Let's jump in. Here's our first matchup. Features our number one seed, Meta World Peace versus Iman Shumpert. We'll play the music, and then let's get your votes. Here is Meta World Peace to start us off.
Yeah, remember the time, doing Thriller, you was grinding. Need to have me open, I was wildin'. Red jacket, pimp, leather glove, you used to show me love. I know you didn't know me, but you showed me love. Held the world with your words, diamonds.
And here is Iman Shumpert.
The next tape in a fish tank. I can do all things when the block put bread on me. OG spent bread on me, so I can't let them lose, and I can't let us lose. Ducking out when them ghosts have affairs on me. I ain't proud of that, don't be loud with that. Gotta keep it on the hush, child. I'm so good with words, I go kill the burst. They like, homie, go and work on your jump shot. Tell Charlamagne when he see me, better holla at me. Hater, envy better holla at me, cause I don't do the fake this shit. I bet they listen when it buzz with their name in it, huh? Yeah, it's the sway guard, straight out the 708 guard. Rapping cause I can and I won't stop. So send a diss if you thinking that I'm ain't squad. I do this, got Harlem going stupid.
All right, so there's our first matchup, man. Take us away. What are your initial thoughts on that first seed and eighth seed?
Yeah, I already knew about the Meta World Peace song, and I already had watched that several times and just stood there in amazement with my jaw on the floor at just the whole thing, the video, what he was saying, the whole rap flow. It's one of those things where it's so bad, it's good, weird way. You know, it's like watching some 80s movie that's just garbage, but you can't stop watching it because you can't believe that people put in the time and energy into this and put it out. Whereas the other guy whose name I don't even know, I don't even remember who this basketball player is, he actually sounds like most of the horrible rap that's out now, which most rap is bad. So the question becomes... which one is worse? I can't believe that they're 1 and 8 because so 1 meaning the worst, correct?
Yeah, exactly right. Meta World Peace is our current favorite to walk away with a rapper title.
Well, yeah, it's definitely the most jaw-dropping. I mean, anything he does has always been bizarre and crazy, which is what we like about him. I saw him at the health food store the other day, and he was walking through the aisles just sort of lost and buying these weird vitamins, and I was just like, I love this guy. Like, he's likable. So it's kind of hard to vote for him to be, the worst ever, because it's like, you know, he has sort of a mental condition almost, you know.
don't you give him the insanity excuse, man. Just because he has reasons to be shitty doesn't mean he's not shitty.
He said that, y'all know you hit on me about Michael Jackson hitting on him. I mean, that right there, that's the best line, I mean, maybe in music history. He called Michael Jackson out for hitting on kids. I mean, that's incredible. Yes.
I mean, albeit after MJ was dead, but I mean, I gotta think, I mean, that Shumpert song actually got me kind of excited. That beat is kind of hot. I kind of like that beat. Like, that's why I think our test one is just so bad.
I mean, I will say Meta Artest sound like he got hammered. Then he heard Michael Jackson died and then just contemporaneously immediately started recording his thoughts on an iPhone. Like, he hadn't thought about those lyrics in any way, shape or form. And I really like that he's speaking to MJ personally, like they were like homies, like they were somehow friends, even though, you know, Jackson probably couldn't pull him out of a lineup of 1. My vote's easy. I'm going Meta World Peace. It sounds...
I'm going Meta too.
Where are you on this?
I'd vote for Meta too. But in a weird way, even though it's worse, if I was stuck on an island, I would rather have that YouTube video any day to be entertained me. So, but yeah, I mean, that's musically and tone-wise and voice-wise as a rapper, absolutely, he's worse. Yeah.
There you go. Well, that'll be our deciding vote. Meta moves on to the second round. Quick follow-up question. How often do you see crazy-ass Meta World Peace roaming around Los Angeles?
Not too often, but actually I met him once and he recognized me and he lit up like a Christmas tree because I figured he saw a scary movie or just knew me from something.
Sure.
And he was just smiling and laughing and gave me like a five, like he knew me. And he's like a big kid. He's a huge, like a child, and which is a likable quality. So, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, rest assured he will never hear this, so I'm sure it won't change your relationship. Let's move on to the next matchup, one that might be a little bit harder. This is our versus five matchup. The four seed is Delonte West. The five seed, old school Dennis Scott. Here's the two clips, then let's get your take, Simon.
My swag, why you mad? I bought 24 tag CVS bag. If you switch the swisher, you got the swisher swag. Metallic blue jigs are popping willies like a tag.
Money on J Clark came behind the wheels of steel. Money on, check it out.
It's my job that'll stay on point. 3D rep when you step in the joint. So much funk can make you lose your soul. But I stay cool on cruise control. I see this shit. And looking kind of slick, making it hot, sweating me for a flick. Yo, Clark can let the system rock. Look to the sky, piece of my pot. I mingle in the middle, shorty look single over there. Throw my hands in the air.
Shoot, what do you think, Simon?
Okay, first of all, 1994, Dennis Scott, that was the sound of the music back then. He actually almost sounds like some of the rappers back then in that kind of flow, just kind of talking.
Yeah, he does.
There is absolutely no way that I have to say that Delonte West is hands down 10 times worse than that. Because
why?
Just he actually said with the Camel, with the SS stride. he was doing like with the Swisher swag. He sounded like Riff Raff in third grade. I mean, he looks like Riff Raff in third grade. I saw the video for that one. I did my homework on the show.
Nice.
It was, you know, he has zero consideration for the listener. It took a minute and a half before he started his verse. And when it finally came in, it was inaudible. And I mean, that guy's crazy, too. He gets pulled over with guns in his backpack on a scooter.
Driving a three-wheel motorcycle. Exactly.
So I'm going to go. I'm definitely easy one on this one. Delonte West was much more unlistenable.
I completely agree with you. I also watched the video. I loved that at least half the video is him posing for photos, you know, like literally in the video doing different poses for another photographer who's actually on camera for the video. I don't understand that at all. I also like that this kind of seemed like he was trying to freestyle, but he couldn't come up with the words fast enough. So it comes out kind of like slow and he's almost pseudo retarded. Absolutely awful now.
Yeah,
Dennis Scott was pretty bad, man. You know,
he was bad, but it's a matter of who's worse. And yeah, if you have to ask me, like, if which one is more jarring to the ear, definitely Delonte West's song overall.
Right.
The beat selection, the pitch, his tone. Whereas Dennis Scott, yeah, it was bad, but he's just kind of talking and rapping like this, you know. You know, so it's less abrasive to the ear. So again, that's an easy one for me. Congratulations, Delonte West, you're going to the next round.
Well, let's see. I haven't cast my vote
yet.
Cast your
vote.
You know, being from D.C., Delonte West, also a D.C. native.
Oh, here we go.
I got to say, D.C. has never had a rap star, and D.C. will not have a rap star in Delonte West. He is terrible, embarrassing to the D.C. area. He's definitely moving on to the next round. Dennis Scott, way better.
Yeah, it looks like we've got a full sweep. I do want to say about Dennis Scott that it sounded like someone forced him by, like, at gunpoint to participate in a rapping karaoke contest or something. Like, it seemed like he was genuinely sad while delivering his verses on that last one. But You guys are right. Delonte moves on. Let's move to our next matchup. This is the 2-7 seed Shaquille O'Neal in the 2 spot versus Charles Barkley in a very random little known commercial for Taco Bell. I'll play both of them back to back. Here's both Shaq, then Charles Barkley.
Remember when you asked me this one day, who I want to be, like I said, Dr. J. And you said, good, now you gotta go. Take the damn ball and slam it through the hole. Mom cracked a smile, daddy gave a frown. I said to myself, I can't let them down. So make way, I'm coming in for the landing. What's gonna stop me from being outstanding?
The $5 box, it rocks, it rocks. It rocks for a meal with lots and lots. It rocks for a jock, it rocks for a fox. It rocks blocking shots on guys with dreadlocks.
What comes in this box that rocks?
A cheesy gordita, crunch to much.
We all scream for Gordita Supreme.
A crunchy taco and cinnamon twists?
Both on the list. And wait, let me think, an ice cold drink. That is lots and lots in just one box. And it's only $5, and that's why it rocks.
All right, Simon, take us away. What do you think?
That's an easy one. Charles Barkley was like the audio version of his golf swing. It was just atrocious. No rhythm, horrible. I mean, it's almost like he was purposely doing it, but I know he's not after listening to him commentate for years. That's really how it – that is unbelievably bad. And if you actually watch the commercial, Lamar Odom is – there at the end waiting with a gordita in his hand, which is, I think, what propelled him into becoming a crackhead, to be honest.
What the hell was Lamar Odom doing in that commercial, by the way? You're absolutely right.
Just so random. And so, okay, first of all, the Shaq. Yeah, Shaq was bad at rapping, but that's too easy. I mean, we've been poking fun at Shaq's acting and rapping for, 15, 20 years now. That's too easy. Definitely Charles Barkley takes the cake. That was simply awful. I don't care what language you speak. There's comedy and music, things have a rhythm. There was absolutely no rhythm to that. It was like they purposely made something to sound horrible to get your attention. Definitely Charles Barkley. Definitely Charles Barkley.
I had some disputes with Bram about whether or not Barkley should even be in this. And I think that that almost doesn't count as a rap to me. It's clearly, it's almost more like reading a Mother Goose rhyme or something. It's not even rapping. I don't even think it should be considered as part of this.
All right. So let's see. First, let me agree with you, Simon. Listening to that made me feel legitimately stupider by the end of the 45-second clip. I can feel my brain cells dying. But the one thing I will back Scott up on is that unlike the rest of these people, and I'm giving them credit, unlike the rest of these players, I should say, I'm assuming those other guys wrote their own lines. This one sounds like a terrible commercial that, Barkley got talked into via his agent. He's only there for the money. They hand him off some burger set of lines that he reads into the camera poorly. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he actually came up with this. And for that reason alone, it's hard to actually pick him. He is definitely the worst, but I'm not even going to call him a rapper. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's more Shaq. Now, I'm going to give the decision, even though we've got 2-1, you are a resident expert here. I'm going to give you the final call. But after we've presented in that way, what do you think? Where's your vote lie?
I mean, at the end of the day, if you're just playing something for me to listen to, I don't care who wrote it. Maybe we don't know that possibly some of these rappers may have had someone helping them write. We just don't know. But you're right. That was a Jack in the Box commercial with some corny white old guy writing that down. And it did sound like a nursery rhyme. I feel like, hindsight being 2020, looking back, maybe we should have thrown the Allen Iverson song in the mix. There's been some other rappers that have rapped pretty bad because Chuck didn't write that. So in his defense, he didn't write it, but at the end of the day, he rapped it, so I can't listen to it. I'm sorry. I got to go with Chuck still.
You're going Barkley. All right. Fair enough, man. Barkley moves on to the second round.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm the first one to hate on Shaq. I don't know why. I feel like he ruined the TNT chemistry at the halftime show. I feel like he bothers me in a lot of ways. I want to say Shaq for many reasons, but the reality is that was just simply unlistenable, and Shaq's was less unlistenable. So I got to just be honest.
All right, our last matchup of the first round, one I'm actually kind of excited about. This one features our boy Kobe Black Mamba Bryant and then new coaching sensation Jason Kidd. I think both of these are absolutely horrible, but I'll let the music speak for itself. Here is Kobe and Kidd.
Come on. Yo. It's like this.
What I live for? Basketball, beats and bras. From Italy to the U.S., yes, it's raw. I'm in search for the one that make my wealth feel poor. Who can ignore this spotlight life of glamour? Am I done for? Have I found the ore? Should I search still? There's plenty of women with sex appeal when it's filled. Can they complete the package? All I date is actresses. The play is safe to them. My money ain't big.
Let's go back a few years to be exact. High school, the fools didn't know how to act. The St. Joe's, the host treated me different. But I was good on the dribble like an infant. And it went all down the corner playing. UC Berkeley, I was the man. Every week, my name in the Campanelli. J Kid kicking ass like Jim Kelly.
All right. Look, I'm going to. This is actually the closest one, I think.
Yeah.
To decide. I think this is the toughest call. The other ones have been pretty easy for me to choose. I hate to do this. I'm a Bay Area guy. I played against Jason Kidd in high school, as I've said on the show, scored on him, highlight of my life. I've been following his career and since we were in high school playing each other in Alameda. I love that he referenced St. Joe's and a little Alameda shout out there. But just being a listener, it was very hard to listen to, even after hearing Kobe, and Kobe's was bad. And I know it was 1994, and that was the G-Funk era, and it sounded like that kind of times. You know, Dennis Scott had the East Coast beat in that one we listened to, but this is the West Coast version. So I'm taking into consideration that was the sound back then. But nonetheless, you know, Jason Kidd, I remember we used to, when he played at my high school, they would go SATs when he'd be shooting his free throws because he kept failing his SATs.
Like four times, right?
He has the highest basketball IQ ever, but I've met him before and talked to him, and it's like watching the, you know, paint dry. It's very boring. And listening to him rap is just as boring. I got to say he's worse than Kobe.
All right, your vote's Kid. Let me, quick follow-up. Where did you score on J. Kidd? Post-play? Were you
I didn't tell you this. This was when I played at Alameda High School. He was the exact same grade as me. When I was a senior, I was on varsity, and he was on varsity, obviously, too. And I remember at Alameda High School, my head coach saying, okay, Simon, you got Kid. And my heart started beating out of my chest because ESPN was in the gym, and college scouts and NBA scouts were in the high school gym. And I got called in to DM up, and the first look that I got, I hit a fadeaway 10-foot baseline jumper all net in his face as he dove at me.
Yeah.
And I knew at that moment, the whole gym erupted, and I knew at that moment that was going to stay with me the rest of my life. Then the next play down, I went for a layup, and he flew from half court to catch me and pinned me against the glass and threw the ball off. And then I realized, okay, he was just, you know, he was going like 50% on me to let me score.
Yeah, well, you can never take away the one you hit, baby. It doesn't matter how badly he pinned you, right?
And I've said it in interviews and magazines. People say, what's the highlight of your life? I'd say scoring on Jason Kidd. So one night in L.A. years ago, I was talking to a friend, and I see Jason Kidd out of the corner of my eye, and I hear him go, oh, I got to talk to this guy. And he beelines it over to me, and he starts talking to me, and he goes, I saw what you said in the magazine about scoring. I'm going to go, yeah, I scored on you in high school. I'm friends with so-and-so. We had people in common. And then it was probably the most boring conversation I've ever had in my life. I was like, dude, I wasn't lying. I scored on you. I'm just, you know, you're the man, so I'm proud of it. And he laughed it off. It's cool. I scored on Jason Kidd in high school. I can't believe I didn't tell you guys that.
I'm impressed. I didn't even score on one in 2K15, so you're definitely a step ahead of us there.
This was real life. This is real life.
Exactly right. I will jump back in on the rap contest. As much as I agreed with at least 95% of the stuff that you just said, I mean, J. Kidd, one, did sound like West Coast. Sound a little bit like It Ain't No Fun. The beat did, which made me like it.
Yeah.
But the lyrics sound like he paid a local third grader to write them for him, and the kid ended up being mentally challenged. So it just didn't work out at all.
Yeah.
Kobe, the beat sounds like it's from like Gloria Estefan doing like a reggae tone beat or something. And the way that he says Italy makes me want to punch him directly in his face.
We get it, Kobe. You grew up in Italy, so you don't have to pronounce it Italy or whatever.
Exactly right. If you want to rap in Italian, do that. But don't give us the English version. This is probably more spite than anything else, Simon. But I'm going Kobe on this one.
Okay. All right. Is this a democracy?
Yeah. I just love that Jason Kidd beat. I got to be honest. I think a big part of any rapper is getting on a good beat. You don't rhyme over whack beats, and Kobe did that. I think Kobe gets my vote as the worst rapper in this round.
Oh, in a early upset, one nobody saw. It sounds like Kobe is moving on. And honestly, for a Warriors podcast, it is only appropriate that we push this guy at least to the second round, which we now find ourselves in, man. So we've now got in the second round, we've got the number one seed, Meta World Peace, versus the number four seed, Delonte West. Scotty, per usual, has done a little homework. He's got some secondary verses here for us. Here is both Delonte West and Meta World Peace. And I think we're going to start with Meta World Peace.
And the apple pies, macaroni cheese, raspberry
what?
Iced tea,
cheese.
Got the big jug, check my mug,
check
my swag. Put hot sauce in my bag, hot sauce in my bag, hot sauce in my bag, hot sauce in my bag.
Oh, that, okay, whatever that second thing was, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. And,
that was Delonte West. Go ahead, take us away. So what are your initial thoughts?
I can't believe I'm going to say this because the Meta World Peace first song like should take the cake for everything, but then the second song you just played of Meta World Pieces was somewhat more listenable.
Yeah.
So in this second round, it'd be like if they played each other again,
yep.
I'm going to have to vote Delonte West on that two comparison one there.
Anything can happen in a one-loss tournament, right? You know, you can never predict what the hell is going to happen. I tell you what, man, you have inspired me. I picked the seedings. I thought Meta World Peace was a shoo-in, but after listening to that and hearing your passion, I'm with you, man. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go Delonte.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, if anyone gets a chance to watch the video of Delonte doing that rap, it's worth it. He's at a drive-thru with his buddy at KFC. They get the announcement that it's going to take 18 minutes for their food to come, and Delonte decides to wait and set up some dashboard camera where he then turns on a beat that already has lyrics on and tries to freestyle over it, which is the hilarious part to me.
Is anyone else worried that if we have Delonte West win this tournament, he will hunt us all down and murder us in our sleep or something?
I'm a little bit worried about that, yeah, a little bit.
All right, fair enough. Well, hopefully he won't win the next round. Let's get his partner for the championship. Here's the last semifinal round. This one matches up Barkley in a surprise and Kobe. Now, I said that Scotty did a lot of background research. We anticipated Shaquille making it to the second round, not Barkley. So unfortunately, we don't have another Barkley clip. So what we'll have is a second song from Kobe. And then, Scotty, do you want to show off your research on Shaquille? Do you want to play him that or just keep it at one clip?
Yeah, we'll do Kobe, and then I just got to play the Shaq clip because it's a great Shaq versus Kobe duel on the microphone. So you'll appreciate this.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, though, obviously this matchup is not with Shaq. We're just showing off Scott's research skills. You know, we're still thinking the terrible song from Barkley ending with Lamar Odom. Here is Kobe and Shaq for Barkley.
I'm hip and took Ebola like straight to the wig. Speak truth like kids, tell you what you don't know. Kobe, yeah, he's real with the flow. Kicking the dough, waving the flow. All you heard was stop, can't take the hits no more. In the flow. All you heard was stop, can't take the hits no more. Ha! Didn't know I had your block on SWAT. I'm CIA, y'all nothing but beat cops. I rock like my mom's main name was cocaine. Place you on my A-fiend list if pay you came.
Okay, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Okay, everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. I'm a horse, Kobe ratted me out, that's why I'm getting divorced. He said Shaq gave a bitch a meal. I don't do that, cause my name's Shaquille. I love him, I don't leave him. I got a vasectomy, now I can't breed him. Kobe, how my ass tastes, everybody. Kobe, how my ass tastes. Yeah, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm actually having a response to Shaq's lyrics, and even though it sounds awful, it's a lot funnier and more personal. Obviously, this isn't a battle between the two.
No.
Kobe was really jarringly offbeat with that, like, you know, kick the Biggie reference, waving the dough, kicking the folk, you know, he just doubled it up for some reason. Like, that just sounded really bad. I mean, I'm white, and that sounded like, you know, my dad rapping or something. So I'm going to say that Shaq won that one because of the content and how bad Kobe was. I'm going to have to say, so no, I'm sorry. Well, then that means Kobe's worse.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Kobe
right.
goes on. Yeah.
So Kobe moves on into the worst NBA rapper finals. I completely agree. Even thinking back at how terrible Barkley was, using the same rationale we had last time, that wasn't his rap, Kobe's was. And Kobe is such a pompous dick, and you know that he thinks that he is amazing at this. You know, so just that alone really makes me go Kobe. Scotty, is it a clean sleep?
Oh, you can tell that some of those kind of analogies that Kobe puts in that verse, like the thing about his mom rocking crack and cocaine, like he thinks that's so smart and creative, I'm sure. And that just makes me really hate him even more and hate him as a rapper even more.
So off we go then to the finals. And I won't subject you, Simon, or the audience to any more terrible verses. I'll just ask you the question and see where we land. We've got Delonte pulled over with multiple guns while riding a three-wheeled motorcycle west from the four seed. And then Kobe saying the word Italy, remarkably annoying Bryant, coming out at the third seed. Who's your champion, Simon? Who is the worst rapper in the NBA?
I'm going to have to say Delonte West. And trust me, I want to hate Kobe for so many personal reasons in the Pacific Division and what he's, you know, but basketball aside, just about to just listen to that.
Keep it pure,
with, you know,
sure.
Open mind. That Delonte West takes the cake as arguably the worst rapper. Every single song progressively was worse and worse. Yeah, it's a tough call. It's a tough call. It's like the Knicks. It's like the Knicks playing the Kings or something. They both suck, but the Kings are a little better. You know what I mean? I don't know.
You may have noticed a quick pause on my end. I was waiting for the sound of your door getting kicked in and Delonte beating you, you know, within a half inch of your life. Now that that didn't happen, and I know we're kind of safe, I will come in. I think I'm going to agree, man. As much as I hate Kobe, that freestyle about chicken really put it over. I'm going to vote Delonte, I think, Scotty.
I mean, it pains me as a DC guy to put Delonte down like this, but I mean, how could somebody put that out there and allow it to stay out there and not be just embarrassed? Like, a lot of these guys in the NBA and any rapper has a PR person behind them, and he might have the worst PR team of all time.
So, without further ado, let me go ahead and say your 2015 world champion, worst rapper in the NBA, Mr. Delonte West. Congratulations
all right.
to all involved.
Delonte. All right. Is he still in the league? Is he still hooking up with LeBron's mom? He should have put out a song about it.
And that was actually so.
If he was smart, he would have rhymed LeBron and mom and stuff like that.
You know, I don't know whether or not he's in the league. I will say that when we were listening to the first song, I love the idea of him giving it to LeBron's mom while listening to his own music. You know, I feel like he's that type of dude. So it kind of added to the overall theme of this. Hey, Simon, you are a great sport doing this with us, man. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, man.
I look forward to this. This is unfortunately, this is the highlight of my day, and don't take it the wrong way. I'm just such a diehard Warrior fan, and I love what you guys are doing, and anything I can do to support the Dubs and have a good time, and that's what we're doing over here. So thanks for having me, guys.
It's our pleasure. Leave us with a guess, unless you think it'll bring bad luck. Where do the Warriors finish this season, man? We looking at a title, Western Conference Finals? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to say that we are going to the finals, and bar, you know, some injuries, I think we could win this championship this year. I've changed my tone. I think the last time we talked a couple months ago, I said I could see us getting the second or third round, but after seeing us get better, I really think we have a chance. I really believe that. It's crazy that I'm saying that. I'm not just saying that as a fan. I'd be the first one to say, oh, we suck. No, we look like we could win it. So let's see what happens, man. Let's hope OKC plays real shitty, or we face New Orleans that first round, because if we get through that first round, I think we could do it. The first round is the scariest one for some weird reason to me. I don't know why.
No, I know exactly why, because as a old school Warrior fan, there's nothing more Warriors-y than making it all the way through the regular season and then, you know, losing in the first round. So
in a weird way, what happened with Dallas, you know, when we upset them in that weird year when we were the eighth seed and we were the first team in history in the 7-game series to do that in the first round, I just don't want that like weird karma to come back to us that all of a sudden an eighth seed beats the Warriors. It just seems like that's a story there somehow. So I'm just hoping that don't happen. If not, we're good.
You and I
we're
both
good.
Perfect place to end. Go Warriors. Thanks again, man. Hopefully we'll talk to you real soon.
Let's do it, guys. Thanks.
Huge fun, you guys. We really, really appreciate you listening. That was certainly true this week. Please remember that if you want to get in contact with us, you disagree with our rapper choices or anything else we may have said during the course of the show, hit us up. Our email address remains warriorshuddle@gmail.com. If you want to get us on Twitter, we are at Warriors Huddle. We remain on a number of websites, actually, the main one being warriorsworld.net, and we're also on podcasting services everywhere, including iTunes. You guys have been phenomenal about giving us reviews recently. Please keep that up. We really, really, really appreciate it. Thanks again for listening. Hopefully, we'll see you next week.
In the KFC, KFC, iced tea, KFC, KFC, raspberry, iced tea, iced
tea,
do the damn thing, throw your jugs up, do your diamond ring. Got your chicken, man. Chicken wing. Got barbecue.
Sauce.
Original.
Sauce.
Original.
Sauce.
That's recipe.
Sauce.
No pepper, hot sauce. Yes, that's me.
Me.
I don't know you.
New.
You can do the brew.
Mm.
I do the biscuits and the mashed potatoes, too.
Good, good.